Folks, Brother Raley left this world about 5 o'clock this afternoon. A lot of you have been asking me about him, and I thought I'd just go ahead and tell you that. And it's a hard time to get up here tonight. It's heavy hearts. I knew Brother Raley for at least 34 years. He was with us up in the other building, and I've known this brother for a long time, and I know where he is. No doubt in my mind about that at all. And the Bible says we saw not as others that have no hope, but I want you to pray for his family tonight. Pray for Terry. And she's taking this awful hard. Brother Grindstaff was with the family when they unplugged him. And he lasted about an hour when they took him off of the respirator. I spent a good deal of time with the family yesterday. And I talked to Terry yesterday, and I told her, I says, you don't have to do right now. You don't have to unplug him. You can give yourself 24 hours to see if he's going to come out of this. And that way you'll know that you've made the right decision. And that's what she did. She waited another 24 hours and because the doctor was recommending yesterday to unplug him. But anyway, he's in the hands of God. In him we live and move and have our being. And so I want to speak to you for a few minutes tonight, not long. I don't feel much like preaching. If you don't know the truth about it, I'll just be honest with you. But I've got a few things to say, and then we'll go home. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. I'm going to talk about character tonight. Character, let me say this right now. Character is the thing that will get you through. Character will get you through. A lot of Christians live a cream puff religion. They live a mountaintop feeling religion from one high to the next. And I'm sad to say that that won't work. That won't work. That won't get you through. If it's a constant feel, then you'll never make it. Because there are times in your faith that you don't feel anything. But deep down inside your soul, you know truth and you know reality, and you know what you're holding to. And that's what matters. That's what faith's about. In Genesis 18 verse 19, the Bible said, "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Now, God said that about Abraham. Why did he say it? Because he knew him. And in the next chapter, 19, as our brother preached to this past Sunday, when these three angels showed up outside Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord said to Abraham, he said this, he said, "Shall I hide from my servant that thing that I'm about to do?" And of course, he knew that Abraham would begin to plead for them. He knew he would intercede for them because he was that kind of man. He wasn't a vindictive man. He wasn't a hateful, spiteful person to try to take a pound of flesh out of someone, kick them when they're down, hurt someone, have some sort of a perverted joy from watching somebody suffer. No, that wasn't Abraham. Abraham would come to your aid. When Lot was taken captive, the Bible said he took 318 of his own hired servants or his servants from his household, and he went after him, and he got him. He brought him back. And so the kind of man Abraham was, the kind of man of character. He wasn't perfect, but he had character. If he told you something, you could believe him. You could trust him. In Genesis chapter number 18, verse 19, the first thing I want to talk about character as it relates to Abraham, he was faithful. He's the only man in the Bible who's really used as an illustration what faithfulness is about. This is what God requires of a steward, that you be found faithful. It's not up to you to figure out some kind of a scheme to build God's church. That's not that. No, I don't believe in that junk. It's up to you to be faithful. He'll build his church. He said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I believe in the propagation of the truth. I believe in getting the word out. I believe that the word, if you're exposed to the truth and exposed to the word, you're held accountable for that. And that's what you answer to. And I answer to get it out. They answer to hear it and what they do with it. And that's what I'm called to be, faithful to preach the truth. And you're faithful to stand to the truth and to support the truth. And this is one of the true characters, marks of character, faithfulness. There's an awful lot of people out there that might be able to do the job you're doing right now better than you, but they won't do it but a week or two or a month or two or a year or two. You're faithful. That's why you've still got your job. That's why you still have it. It's because your employer knows you're going to come back. And you're going to come back. I 10,000 times rather, if I had to make a choice between one who's highly gifted and one who may not be as gifted but is faithful, I'll take the faithful one 10,000 times over this one, because I can't trust that one. They're here today and gone tomorrow. The faithful one. This is what he calls upon us to do. It's a servant to be faithful. There's nothing in the Bible that tells you'd have to figure out, scheme, and work and try to figure out how you're going to build God's church. The only thing you need to do is get his word out. Sow the seed. That's how you build his church. And he's the one who does the building. That's what we're called to be, faithful stewards of the word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, this is a true mark of character. 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Teachableness. If you have ever stopped your learning, then you're finished. I've heard some people who are so arrogantly affirmed that they're masters of the Bible. And I've heard some of the things that they're masters. I'm going to tell you right now, just to be honest with you tonight, okay, no flim flam, no puff, no him hawing around. There are passages in the Bible nobody can fully understand. The Apostle Peter said, hard to be understood. That's right. So what do? Well, you know the ones that you can understand. The ones the Holy Spirit has made clear to your soul. Stand on what you know. But don't spend all your time dealing in the area where you don't understand it and try to impress people with your knowledge. And one of the sure signs of a young believer in Christ, especially young preachers, is they want to impress people with how much they know. And all you're doing is showing your ignorance. Teachableness. I want to be taught. I want to learn. I want to learn. And I want my heart to be open to learn. And the Bible says then of the Lord Jesus Christ that he had the heart of the learned. He learned day by day. God the Father taught him on this earth. He learned. Here's the next one in Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 7. This is a true mark of character. Hebrews 13 verse 7. The scripture says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Hebrews chapter number 7, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. Verse 24. Salute all them that have the rule over you. And all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. And I cannot find anywhere in the Word of God where a local assembly of believers has any kind of a religious hierarchy ruling over them outside of a local pastor. It doesn't exist. In other words, a pope, a cardinal, or whatever you want to call them, a head man of your denomination, and what have you. That's meaningless. It is the local assembly of believers that calls a pastor, that serves the Lord Jesus Christ as a pastor in that local assembly. Then he answers to God for the truth that he preaches or doesn't preach. The apostle said, I haven't shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. That's a mark of character. It's to accept responsibility. It's to accept authority, if authority is over you. If you don't accept authority, then you're a rebel. And you saw what happened to the rebels in the Old Testament. No man can ever be in authority if he can't accept authority or recognize authority of someone else. And it's an important thing to understand that that's a mark of character, because if nobody can ever tell you anything and nobody can be over you, then you're a rebel. You are in rebellion. And there's no way a person in rebellion like that can be right with God. You go in the military, you learn real fast about authority. They'll teach you. That's one of the things that they pound in your head. And along with authority, they pound the chain of command. And the reason they do that is because you have to understand that people that you may not even know in the military, if you see rank on them, then you understand that rank gives them authority. And you have to recognize that authority. The chain of command goes all the way over your commander in the military to the Secretary of Defense, and above him is the President of the United States. That's the top of the line. Authority is something that you have to accept. Authority, because we have responsibility. And character, that builds your character. It builds it. It builds it greatly. And now here in Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 50, this is one of the truest marks and signs of an individual's character. It's loyalty. Loyalty. We've raised a couple of generations that do not even know the meaning of the word. In Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 50, and Jesus said to him, Judas Iscariot, Jesus said to Judas Iscariot, friend, that was a biting rebuke. Oh, was that a biting rebuke? Wherefore art thou come? Why are you here? You're here to betray me, aren't you? See, he called him friend. Now, Judas Iscariot was a Jew, had an Old Testament. Turn over here to Psalm chapter number 49. 41 and verse 9. Psalm 41 and verse 9. Here's a prophecy as it relates to Judas Iscariot. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. This is what makes Benedict Arnold such a miserable byline in the history of this nation, is because he tried to sell, he was a turncoat, turned against America, and he tried to turn West Point over to the British. That's what he tried to do, hand him West Point. And that's treachery. Because if you put in a position of trust and you betray that trust, that's treachery. That's one of the worst things there is. This is why adultery is such a horrible thing. I know your television set glorifies it. I know that. I know the Academy Awards hands out their garbage year after year after year, glorifying it and praising it. I understand that the music industry, if you want to call it music, pumps out their slop one after another, singing about it and glorifying it and praising it. And it's the thing, and it's part of the pop culture, you know. And you got these people. This one guy I told you about the other day, he had 9 wives. He'd been married 9 times, you know. I wouldn't tell anybody that, would you? No. If I'd been married 9 times, I wouldn't tell them. They'd have to find it out from somebody besides me. But it's the idea that the marriage vow doesn't mean anything anymore. And so they're saying now, this pop culture, this morbid, decaying, rotting culture that you're part of is saying now that we don't need marriage. You see, they're saying that that's outdated, antiquated, anachronistic. It doesn't belong in this age. We're enlightened now, you know. We know too much now. We don't need all these old Victorian rules and standards and so forth, and blah, 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 blah. But teenage suicide's on the rise. Drug abuse is unbelievable. People are hooked on drugs. Children are committing suicide. Children killing children. 3 kids are dead up here. Where is it? Ohio or somewhere up in there. One in a school up there and shot 4 or 5 kids. This one did, said he'd been bullied. Now, here's the bottom line, folks. When I went to high school, you know what we had to, you know what they did? You know what the problem with kids? Throwing paper wads, pulling girls' hairs, chewing gum. Stuff like that. Well, nobody ever shot anybody. But I just read in the news today where they've got 3 teachers in New York City. 3 teachers now have been indicted for fondling their children, the kids in their classroom. The teachers are. You say, what's this? This is where the breakdown started in the 70s and the 80s. They're up teaching now. See? They're up teaching now. The whole system is corrupt, folks. You live in a sewer. And so your character will sustain you. Loyalty. Look at Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Is there anybody in the world that your friend and you've befriended, that you called a friend? Anybody? Is there anybody that you'd go out of your way for, that you'd give of yourself for, give of your treasure, your time, even if it inconvenienced you? Is there anybody in the world that would do that for you? It's so sad that our relationships in our churches today are so superficial. It's not a real body of Christ like it should be, where they're knit together in love, bearing one another's burdens, and fulfill the law of Christ. If my legacy, if I leave this place and God calls me out of this world, and my legacy at Temple Baptist Church is that I leave behind a church that loves the Lord and loves each other, I'll feel like I've gotten something accomplished. I really will. I'm not interested in building something big. I don't care about it. I'd much rather build a soul. Much rather. I'd much rather tell you the truth. People are looking for, they're looking, hunting, searching. You know why? Because they can't find anything. They can't find it. I want you to pray, and just pray for me, and pray for Terry, and pray for Donnie's children, and pray for his family, his brethren. Pray for all of them. It's a hard time for this family. It's a hard time. It's been a hard time at Temple Baptist Church, too. That's the third man right there that's died in this church in the last few weeks. This is the third widow now that's come here at Temple Baptist Church. You know, you might remember who won the Super Bowl. I couldn't care less. I'm talking about these men now. They're not here. They're gone. Donnie used to sit right there. Used to sit there. Brother sat back there for 30 years and ran the camera. Another one sat right back there on that back pew. I can point him out. I've seen him so many times. So let's pray for them. That's all I've got tonight, and I just ask you to remember them in prayer, remember the family in prayer. I don't know anything about the details. They may have his body at Bridges Funeral Home. That's the preliminary talk, but I'm not sure about that yet. So, are they going to Bridges? Okay, so they're going to go at 10 in the morning, make arrangements at Bridges.